Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
To start off with, what I'd like to just thank some of those people that were here yesterday. Every 3 months, we have a church work day, and there was a few people that showed up that just worked hard yesterday trying to do things that this church needs to be done in the maintenance area. We want to be a body that is proud of the house that God gave us. So thank you guys for showing up yesterday. Thank you for all you've done. And we continue to appreciate you. And so let's just quickly pray here and say, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before your throne. And Lord, we lift you. We praise you. And Lord, as our time progresses today, Lord, that you would receive our hearts, Lord, and fill them, Lord. Fill our hearts with your presence. Fill our hearts with all that you would have for us. And Lord, we come now with before you with our worship music.
All right. We're about to celebrate communion. And I just want you to start feeling great expectation about what communion brings to you. They're going to start passing out the elements. So, it's coming out to each and every one of you. Just to let you know, so often, boy, I feel really short here. You can't see me though, right? So anyway, the Lord was showing me that sometimes we're not walking in His Word. We know the Word. We know what the Word means. But yet, there's that little piece of us that's not grasping it. And, you know, even times when we come to church, how many of you have an argument with your spouse? Or have an issue that you just can't seem to get anything right? Today, I was spilling everything. And there's just little things that annoy you. Maybe you have an argument with your kid. You know, there's all kinds of things that distract us. Well, you know, we know where that's coming from. That usually means for me that church is going to be awesome. And so, you know, we shouldn't be thinking, maybe I should just stay home. I'm in a bad mood. Well, you know what? When you cross that threshold, you come in in a good mood. You come in and you turn your heart to Him because that's what it's all about. We have to be energized and ready to move forward and not be thinking about, you know, the things that are bugging us. And yet, you know, we can present them to the Lord to say, Lord, I have this problem. Grant me wisdom. And He does. So it's just when you come in here, we have to come in with great expectation. God's word is mighty, and we need to start standing on it and believing it and sharing it with others, not just keeping it to ourselves. We need to be even, and you know what? Sometimes I even talk to myself. I may get up and I'm not feeling all that great. I know I go to the Psalms. That's the first thing that I love to do. And then I start thanking the Lord for the different things that He's done for me. And then He starts showing me all the mighty things He's done for me. And there's things He's still going to be doing in my life. But we got to find the moment that's going to make a difference for how we relate to Him. So if things start off bad, it's okay. We can say, Lord, I know you're with me. Help me to overcome these little things. Help me to walk where you want me to walk, to hear that small voice that says to me what to do. And when we do that, He just brings so much to our hearts, so much to our life. And then, you know what? We don't feel so down in the dumps. So sometimes we have to pick ourselves up, you know, and other times we have to look to, you know, other people in our household and then, you know, think about, look what mighty things God has done. So today we are going to celebrate, partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and provision. Now, there's a word in there that's really important that when we take communion, there's healing. There's healing of your mind. Their healing of your body and the healing of your spirit, because even sometimes we need that healing too. So I want you to come with the expectation that as we take communion, you stand on God's word that brings us healing. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should be live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So if you're needing healing, however you're needing it, today's the day. Today's the day that you're going to walk in it. And then there's people you're going to bless and be there for them and let them know that this is for them also. Because we need that communion with the Lord every single day. And communion isn't about just taking the bread and the wine. It's also about communicating with him every day and allowing him to change our hearts, to change what's going on around us, and how he can even take an argument and turn it into beauty. So I just want you to remember that. So on Matthew 26, 26, 29, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So please take the body, the bread. And for those of you that are new here, your bread is underneath your wine. Okay. All right. So please take the bread. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from this, and all of you, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So if you please take the cup. So with that, I just want you to remember, what you just did is amazing. What Christ did for us is amazing. And now we're going to walk in it. We're going to be blessed by it. We're going to be filled with his Holy Spirit. The Spirit is here now. You can just tell in the music. And thank you, worship team, because you guys bring us into it. But, you know, just be ready to take on the gifts and to use them and to love and be loved by him. Thank you.
Do you know this morning that the love that's been given to you is such a mighty gift? It really is. The fact that you don't have to go through a priest to reach the God that you want to talk to on a regular basis, it's a gift. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit that lives within you, that dwells within you all the time, it's a gift. It really is. It's a gift. It's what separates the just going to church and doing the same old religious thing and knowing the God that has saved you, knowing that the power that he speaks about in the word is true, knowing that every single promise that he has promised you is true, that it's not just words, that it's not just something people talk about, that it's not just something people say, but that it's live and active and it's going after you on a regular basis because he wants you to have life more abundantly, because he wants to give you everything that he placed within you. Woo! Come on. Come on, church. This is what we're meant to get excited about. This is what he's given us. It's a gift. It's a gift of life. Woo! I have enjoyed this song so much because, man, I feel like dancing. You know, when it talks about the part where it says, it's foolishness, I know, I always feel like, no, it's not. Do you remember when David stripped all of his clothes and he danced? And when somebody had something to say about it, that's the power of worship. There is power in worship. There is power in abiding in him, in allowing him to move and do things within your life. There is power in worshiping and claiming victory when you don't feel a victory. There is power power in just standing still and allowing God to fight the battles for you. There is power in just worshiping and allowing Him to just throw His arms around you and give you everything you need. Love, peace, joy, all of those things.
Do you know that you just brought heaven to earth?
Yes.
That's right. As you worship, the angels are celebrating with us. They are all around us. They are here, and it makes God smile. It makes God smile because when we talk about heaven to earth, that's what we're going to be doing in heaven, is praising and worshiping. And we're bringing it down to praise and worship Him. So you want to see miracles? You want to see different things in your life change? Start off with worship. Start off. That's the only thing that's going to draw Him into you. And you are a child of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. But the only way we're going to do that is through worship. It's through worship. We can do all the rules and regulations and the obedience, but that's not going to get us where, because it's not our doing, it's His doing. It's what He did with us, and it's only Him that can do it. So just believe, just know that you just brought heaven to earth with your worship.
I'm feeling in my heart that, you know, sometimes we all cheer whenever they say the mighty women. But I feel that right now, the Lord wants to bless the women of this church. So women, raise your hands to the heavens. Raise your hands to the heavens. I bless you with the freedom to praise, the freedom to dance, the freedom to give your heart. Women, this is your day. It is your day. His presence will just come upon you as you reach out to Him. Just say, yes, Lord. That's all you got to do. He does the rest. So we bless you, women. Bless you to be who you were created to be. The plan that He had for you will come forth. Just say, yes, Lord. He does the rest. He does it all. So I bless you in the name of Lord Jesus. Be who you were created to be. And as my wife said, all you have to do is reach out to Him, praise His name, glorify Him every morning with every breath of your life, and watch Him do the rest.
I heard somebody talking yesterday, and they're talking about baking, and they're saying you're either a recipe follower or you're not. I'm definitely a recipe follower. Anybody else recipe follower? Okay. And then there's other ones that just throw stuff in the bowl, right? I like to follow a recipe because I know what the outcome is, right? It's already been thought out, it's been planned, been tested, whatever. If you just throw stuff in the bowl, you don't know what you're gonna get. But isn't that, I don't know, it's just so much like us. Like, we have a recipe to follow in life, and that's the Bible, right? It's laid out. He has a recipe for each and every one of us. And are we following His recipe, or are we just using it more as a suggestion and kind of looking at it every once in a while, you know? But things are so much better His way, right? He's laid it out for us. But are we following His recipe?
Oh,
Okay, we're talking about a recipe, right? You see, God in Genesis gave a recipe of how to worship. But Cain didn't want to follow it. So Cain doesn't get his offering accepted. Now Cain gets bitter about it. He really gets bitter. And he ends up killing his brother. And God says to him, why are you mad? In other words, you didn't follow what I told you. I created you to worship. You didn't create me. Now there is a recipe to worship. He says, give me all you got. Give me all you got. See, we might be singing the same song, but some of us are saying, oh God, heal this body. And others are saying, oh God, would you just touch my children? And somebody else is saying, I need some finances, Lord. Can you just give me some money? See, we're all singing the same song, but in our spirit, we are resonating different needs and wants. And God wants to meet those needs. But you gotta open your mouth. It isn't for her to sing, it's for you to sing. He says, give me all you got. Sing with to me with your soul. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't know how to sing. He didn't say you have to know how to sing. He says, make a noise. Come on now. You can all make a noise and get your request. When you come to church, come expecting to receive from God. Don't just sit in the chair and do nothing. Because if you do nothing, you're going to get nothing. So I encourage you, give it all you got. Sing that song again. And this time, get excited. Because you got a Jesus that you should get excited about.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's
hallelujah.
A great God who wants to do great things in yourself. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I almost fell down. How's everybody? Man, I love that song. How many like that song? Praise God. You know what? I don't think God gets tired of hearing that song. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of, and oh, I feel like dancing. You know what I mean? How many of you just feel like dancing? How many feel like jumping? Yeah. Ooh, gets me to, oh man, I've seen people sway. I haven't seen sway in a long time. Praise God. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. You know that God loves, he inhabits the praises of his people. How many know that? He inhabits, and how many of you can sense the presence of God in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad? You know what? You know what? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. But there's sometimes it's good to feel that warmth and that, or those chills on your hand. Oh, it's so good. How do you say amen to that? Yeah, I get excited. Hallelujah. This morning, my daughter's going to be bringing the message this morning. How do you say amen to that? Every first Sunday of the month, we bring, we'll have Abe, Rebecca, Pastor John will bring the message every first Sunday of the month. And, I really believe it's really working well. How many say amen? Amen? This mic up here is for y'all. For y'all to come up and just start speaking. Amen, Carmen? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Randy, come on. Come on. Steve, come on. Abe, what's up, man? Come on. This mic is for that. Hallelujah.
We do have a Fred in the house.
We do that with Fred in the house. Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I know that God's got a word for you this morning. I would say I have found with my daughter, take notes, because she gives some great stuff. Amen? There's something about the generation that's behind us. How many say amen? That we're raising up, that's being raised up. I mean, hey, take notes. If you don't take notes, hey, go to the website afterwards and listen to it again and again and again. How many of you listen to the website? Nobody. Come on. There's two. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask that next week. So you better listen. No lie in the house of God. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Rebecca, why don't you come on up and Give us God's word. Amen. I'm going to get this out of your way. Come on.
Sorry, I'm not going to take time to put my shoes back on right now. So, I just want to, going off of what he said, I also want to encourage you, take notes today. The message that God's given me, I feel like it's really important for the body, but I do feel like there are going to be some parts in this message we're going to be like, I don't know about that. And that's okay, because the whole point of what we're trying to teach here is that take it back to him and allow him to speak to you, because revelation happens for people at different times. It really does. Sometimes you can be so excited about something that you have to speak about, and you can talk to somebody about it and they're looking at you like a deer in headlights, like, I have no clue what you just said. But that's the thing, is God gives us things to speak about so that we can throw them out there. They're seeds. And if you look at these things, he will speak to you about them. He will give you the confidence in it that you're looking for. He will answer the questions you might have, all of those things. So take notes, write your questions in your notes, do all of those things, because I really believe that this is something that God is really wanting for us. And it's something that I feel like it's been kind of really drilled into us the last, like, I don't even know how long, because he's just really trying to say, like, this is where I want you to go. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. And that, so anyways, let's go into it. The title of my message is The Vine Dresser. And I want to start in John 15, verse 1. But we're going to read this, and I have a lot of scriptures. So to be honest, I don't know if I'll get through all of them or not. We'll just see where God takes us. So verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. I'm going to stop there. My whole sermon today is going to be basically around this, about abiding in him. The Bible actually talks about the vine quite a few times throughout everything. Even when I was looking stuff up, I was like, oh, there's a lot of stuff here. But this is really what I want to talk about. I like how in the beginning it talks about him being the vine dresser. I learned a lot about vines getting ready for this sermon. And some of you might already know, because some of you probably work with maybe plants and enjoy plants. I enjoy plants too, but I didn't know all this. But vines, when you first, like when they're small and they're first growing, they don't really look like much but branches. They don't have a lot of foliage. They don't have like anything like that. They're actually pretty bare. And they'll go and they prune them quite a bit in the beginning so that, you know, they can begin to produce. And they'll keep pruning until they'll finally get a first bloom. And from there, it's kind of cool, because it's like, if you look at like the cycle of a like vine, they kind of, once they get their first bloom, it's like, bloop, 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 all these blooms start popping up, and they get their foliage, and then they start to produce their grapes, and then they get these huge bundles of grapes. And that's the thing, is it just, it's like an increase, right? And I like that he talks about, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. There's a lot of times in our life, right, that we feel like we're struggling maybe, or that we're having a hard time with something. But the truth is that pruning is something that's essential for your growth. It really is. It talks about it right here. And if you do pay attention to the vine and how the vine works, then you really know how essential it is. Because like I just said, there's a whole season of its growth that it doesn't produce anything, not even a leaf. But as you just prune and prune, it begins to develop all the things that it needs, right? It gets its foliage, it gets its blooms, and then it begins to produce its fruit. So let's go back. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the commandments... Let's stop there. The whole point is that we reflect who the Father is. You don't plant a vine of grapes to get mangoes. When you are planting a vine of grapes, you're wanting grapes from them. And that's the thing, is that we are created like our Father. Even when you are not knowing who he is, even when you haven't come to know him, you are still created in his likeness. He created you with specific things placed within you for what he had prepared for you. This is so cool. You aren't coming into church and all of a sudden just obtaining all this random stuff. He had it planned before you were even born. It's been placed within you. The difference is that when you begin to abide in him, those things which he's placed within you because of the pruning process begin to come forth. It's like those blooms. As he prunes the things away, you begin to bloom. And it's so cool to me because those blooms are like the revelation in your life. When you come to him, you come with probably all kinds of baggage or different things. It just depends. But you don't have to be the one to worry about how to get through them. Let me figure this out. Let me try. No, you don't have to be the one to do that. Just like he says in here, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. He tells you will. All that we got to do is understand that we got to allow ourselves to abide. We got to be willing as a church to start deciding that we're not going to pay attention to all the things that are happening outside. We're going to pay attention to what he's telling us. We got to decide that we're no longer just going to come and sit in a chair, but we're going to allow God to teach us the things that he has for us. The whole point is for him to build a relationship with you. It's what he wants. It's why he goes after you. Because you were created for a purpose, and it was his purpose. And he knows that he has great things for you. He's already placed them there. But it's us learning that we don't need to abide in the world. We need to abide in him. We don't need to search for answers on the outside. We don't know how, we don't have to know how to solve everything. We just need to wait in him. In this part, it even talks about how we've been made clean because of the word that's given to us. Oh, come on. What is grace? Unmerited favor. You don't got to do anything for it. He gave it to you because he loves you. He gave it to you because he wants you to have it. You already have everything that you need. He's placed it all within you. He's put it all in there. And the Bible actually tells us that as he gives us revelation, he actually gives us the keys to the kingdom, where these things just begin to become unlocked to us constantly. Because now, instead of looking at it the same way the world looks at things, we're in a whole different realm. Because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our mind. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work within us. It's abiding. That's what it is. It's learning that he is the vine. We are the branches. Our growth comes from him. Snip us off that vine and you're gonna wither. But it's being attached to that vine that just begins to allow your life to change. This is where he's wanting us to be. And it's so hard sometimes for us because we want our, man, the flesh can really be loud, right? When we're used to listening to it all the time. When you're used to listening to, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what, it can be really hard to switch to go, okay, God, I'm forgetting all of those things. But he will help you do it. There is a very important part that needs to happen for the church to begin to rise up. And this is what it is. It's learning that, gonna switch real quick. I learned really young how to, and this is something that I didn't even quite realize even then. Like I was learning a lesson, but I learned kind of a different lesson at the time. As I got older, I really realized something I learned through one circumstance in my life. When I was in high school as a freshman, I know most of you have heard this because I think I shared it maybe the last time I spoke, but I had a coach that really just did not like me. She did not like me at all. And even though I could shoot a basketball and I could hold my own pretty well, she like refused to pay attention to that. I don't know what I did, to be honest. She just decided that this girl's not going to play. And she really did make it to where I wasn't, when she placed me on a team, she placed me on a team with no other players. It was just me. There was no team, really. It's true. It sounds crazy, but it's true. Like she just, well, you're going to be C team and you're just, there's really no C team. So you can help. You can sit on the bench. And I'll be honest, flesh said, that's it. Let's quit. This is embarrassing. Like, this is so embarrassing. I don't want to be out there. Like, I'm just going to quit because she doesn't like me. What's the point? But I had my dad who was encouraging, but also told me, Rebecca, you know, you can play basketball. So God sees what's happening. I also had a really great mentor, Monica, who had already taught me quite a bit of stuff about learning to put the spirit before my flesh. And so this was the first time I was going, okay, like I'm going to just serve. That's all I can do. So I did. I sat the bench, didn't play a minute for the whole like first half of the season. I just did the books, like, you know, kept record of everything and picked up the balls and did all of the stuff that she told me to do. Anything she needed, I just did it because that's all, that was the only way I could be a part of the team. And God worked it out. You know, come later on, the coach for the A team was like, I've already been seeing how you play. Like, I want to use you for a tournament. And from there, it went on to where all 4 years I played with her. And, well, she left, but I played, you know. But the point is that God really did. He worked it out. I allowed him to do what he was going to do and just helped in the meantime. But that's the thing, is he's never going to leave you. The Bible tells us that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And we have to start learning that we can't step out of that abiding in him just because something comes up in our life. Because this is a lot of times where we get tripped up, is when we're going, God, we're doing good. I'm going after you. I'm really coming along. I'm doing awesome. And bam, something happens in your life. And instead of continuing to go, God, I'm just going to keep my eyes on you and I'm going to go after you. A lot of times we start to begin to go, how can I fix this? What can I change? What do I do? How do I, like, I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. So let me figure out how to change this circumstance. And that's not, we don't have to do that. Because the Bible actually talks about how if we just stay still, he'll fight the battle for us. And that staying still doesn't mean that you just have to do like nothing in the sense of like, don't think, don't do anything. That staying still a lot of times is that abiding place where we're saying, God, I'm going to go after your word. I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to spend time with you. I'm just going to sit here, because the thing that you will begin to see is the more often that you let those things go and just focus on him, you will begin to see in your life how things just begin to work themselves out. But really, it's him giving you favor. It's him changing things in your life, teaching you things, and allowing your circumstance to change. We got to start looking at things that come up in our life the way the Bible tells us to. All things work together for good. You're not doing these things to put me down. You're not doing these things to just kick me for no reason. Like, no, he's doing them to teach you. And in that teaching, it builds you up as he prunes away the dead things, the things that you don't need. It allows for new things to be put in their place. There are these flowers that my mom really likes. Are they called marigolds? Well, I don't know if anybody's like worked with them, but I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you don't prune them, they just keep getting like bigger and uglier and weirder. Like, they really do. They just get like really odd. Because that dead is there, so they're finding different ways to grow, right? But that's the thing, is you need to take the dead away a lot of times so that you can produce something pretty. So that you can get that new bloom. That's why taking the dead things away a lot of times is so important. And can I tell you something? If you struggle with something in your life that you are still struggling with, you gotta let God take care of it. Because he's the one who does the pruning. It's not up to you to get it out of your life. I mean, he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to let you know, this is something I want out. But he will do it for you if you allow him to. If you keep telling him, God, I need your help with this. God, help me. And you go after him, you'll begin to see that he can work it out so that thing doesn't even affect you anymore. He can make it new because he's making you new. That's the thing. You gotta allow, when you abide in him, you're going to take on his characteristics. When you are going after him, you're going to begin to see the fruits of him in your life. When you are really pressing in, you're going to begin to see your life change, and it's going to reflect the Father. It really is. Can I tell you that this is going to be what sets apart the church? Because we have gone so long with people playing church. We have gone so long with the criticisms, with the, this is how you got to dress. This is how you got to speak. This is how you got to move. This is how you got to walk. This is where you got to sit. And God's saying, no. Let me teach you what I have for you. Let me do what I want to do in you. Because you're not fitting the mold of anybody else. You are created with what you have within you, and he's just wanting to bring it forth. He's wanting to allow the blooms in your life to come forth. He's wanting to prune you. It's why we will begin to see a separation between those who just come to church and those who are going after the Father, those who are living within the vine. Those who are abiding in him, there's going to be a clean distinction. And let me tell you, this is why I'm saying God is trying to prepare you. He is trying to tell you, go after me, because I'm wanting to give you things, go after me. But let me tell you that there is a generation who understands I'm going after you wholeheartedly. I want to see more of you here. I want to see kingdom on earth. I want to see all the things you've promised. All those things that are in the Bible, I know that you have given me the gift too. So I want to see it. And as you hunger and you thirst and you go after him, holy smokes, can I tell you, there is definitely going to be a difference between when you played church and now when you're living in the vine. This is the hard part. Because I have a hard time being like, okay, God, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell him, you better start living in that vine. But the truth is he's saying it because he wants to give you more. You know, we're meant to come up here and speak what he has for you because he wants to pour into you. Because he wants to become closer to you. Because he wants for you to make a change. He doesn't want you to just be a withered branch that's going to be cut off and thrown in the fire. He wants you to be full of life. He wants you to bloom. Let's go. You know what? Let's look at some of the characteristics. Because in the verses that we just read, he talks about how when we abide in him and him in us, that we bear fruit. And actually, further down in there, it says we'll bear a lot of fruit. Not just a little, not just some fruit, but you're going to bear a lot of fruit. And those fruits that he's talking about are, he's told us exactly in the Bible what they are. He's given us a clear map of this is who you are. This is how I created you. This is who you are meant to be. This is what you are meant to reflect. This is what I have for you. It's very clear. He gives it to us. So let's look at that. In Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Guys, this shows right here. We're not meant for all the criticizing and all of the just love on people. Do you know that this is why I have heard so many people talk about, especially when they hear that I'm a worship pastor, I hear a lot of like, oh, well, I stopped going to church because, oh, well, you know, I've tried a few churches and then I stopped because. And can I tell you that one of the reasons I hear most often has to do with the way that people treated them in the church? We have a God that's the judge. And just like this, like we're talking about with the vine, he will prune all the things he needs to prune in people's lives. He will speak to them. He will give them revelation the same way he will give you revelation. But if we run them out of the church before they can even hear from him, what are we doing? When somebody walks in those doors, we're meant to be a reflection of who the Father is. Love. It talks about in this scripture, it even says, sorry, I lost it. But above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You want to know why it's the bond? Because you build relationships through love. As you get to know somebody, as you get to spend more time with somebody, as, you know, just like your best friend, when you're talking with your best friend all the time and you're enjoying life with them and getting to know them and stuff, you begin to love them more and more because you're knowing more and more of who they are. It's the same thing with the Father. As you go after him, you begin to know more and more of who he is. And he is love. He wants you to love on people because that's a reflection of who he is. He wants you to forgive even when maybe they don't deserve the forgiveness because that's who he is. Holding on to things that hurt you is only hurting you more. Holding on to things that somebody said years ago is only hurting you more. They walked on while you're upset and you can't, man, I'm so upset because this happened. While you're dwelling on it, they're living their life. While you're stuck, they're moving. Unforgiveness only affects you. It only hurts you. Can I tell you that if every single time somebody hurt me, I left a church, we'd be leaving a lot of churches. But it's why he says, forgive as I forgave you. Because people are people. They're being perfected. And sometimes where you're at is not where somebody else is. So when they say something that hurts you, they may not even realize how much they hurt you. Oh, come on, guys. But he says, abide in me. If we take that hurt and we say, God, Regardless of what just happened, I'm abiding in you. You'll begin to see that now you can stay at these churches that you're growing in. Because your focus is no longer on the wrong thing, it's on him, which is what it should be on the whole time. If we begin to start functioning this way, we'll begin to see a whole lot of unity come together in our life. Because where before we let hurt ruin a relationship, we're now allowing God to mend. We're allowing him to take it away. Can I tell you that Oscar and I, we got married young and we were still learning. And Oscar was a brand new baby Christian. So when we were looking for a church, I'm gonna be honest, I was looking for to him. Okay. Where do you feel like you're going to get fed? Where do you feel like it's going to be? Because I wanted him to know what I knew. But let me tell you something. We did go through a lot of stuff. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. What are we on now? 13 years of being together. And we're going to be, and that's the thing. In those 13 years, if every little thing that ever happened that I ever said or he said to me or that he did to me, if we held on to those things, to be honest, this is why divorce happens. Because your expectation is that you never do this to me, you never, which would be great. But sometimes things happen in marriages. But God never desired for you to just give up. Abide in him. Because just like everything that you see when you go through marriage counselings and everything else, those two come together more the more they go after God. Because now God has the ability to say, you need to forgive them. You love them. Don't let one little thing get in the way of what I've given you. Don't let this situation become your focus so that you lose what I've placed in your life for a reason. Oh, come on. It's forgiveness. It really is. It's learning to say, regardless of what happened, I love you. And I'm going to let God teach me how to forgive. I'm going to let God take it away. I'm going to let him show me how to move past these things. I will tell you that he did it for my marriage. If we would have just been, okay, you hurt me, I hurt you, we're done. We would have been done a long time ago. But God mended a marriage and then he allowed fruit to just come forth. Because now, instead of it just being looking at only the two of us, we were looking to God. How do we do this? It's like being a new parent. You don't know what to do. Trust in God. Because he tells you, raise up a child in the ways of God, and they will not depart from it. It doesn't matter if to you they've moved way far away from it. Know that God promised they will not depart from it. I want to go through some, sorry, I feel like I'm running out of time. Okay, so I want to go through some stuff really quickly. In Micah chapter 4, I want to read Micah chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. This was, God gave me all kinds of scriptures for this. But last night, there was one little thing that just went dink. And this scripture is what came to my mind. And then I found that it's also in Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. And we're going to read Micah because honestly, they're the same words. But it says, "Now shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." I want to go through some things in here because when I read this, so I don't know all this stuff. Some of you might. But I had no idea what a plowshare was. And I knew what, you know, I knew what pruning shears were, but I had no idea what a plowshare was. So I went to the dictionary and we looked up plowshare. And plowshare says cutting or leading edge of a moldboard which closely follows the coulter. Is that how you say it? Coulter. Okay. So now reading this made me be like, I have no idea what a moldboard is. I have no idea what a coulter is. So we went to the dictionary again. And moldboard is a curved metal blade in a plow that turns the earth over. Okay. A coulter is cuts an edge about 7 inches deep ahead of a plowshare. So, I had to look this up because reading those, I was like, huh, what? And so it's actually like what came up is, you know, one of the old school like plows that you would see that was pulled behind like a mule that you like hold and like walk with? Well, there's a blade and that's the mold board. But in front of that is like a, it's like a blade that actually cuts the ground in front of it, right? It's leading, right? So this is what it says when I went further in. A cutting tool that is attached to the beam of a plow makes a vertical cut in the surface and permits clean separation and effective covering of the soil and materials being turned under. Now, this made me think of something else. So let's go to Hebrews 4:12. So, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Isn't that really cool? Did you see it? Let's do it again. Okay. So it says, a coulter, a cutting tool that is attached to the beam of a plow, makes a vertical cut in the surface and permits clean separation and effective covering of the soil and materials being turned under. Guys, the Spirit is our coulter. Okay, hold on. Let's look at something else. So, Ephesians 2:1. It says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. This scripture talks to us about how he created us with a purpose that we should walk in them. That's what it's telling us. It's saying, you think you're walking in me, and there's some things I want to change. But this is why the culture is so important. Because it's the spirit that is the discerner. Come on, church. It is important for you to be going after the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the discerner of what needs to be pruned and taken out of your life. It's not up to the church to say, change your clothes. It's not up to the church to say, change your walk. It's not up to the church to say, change this or change that. You come to church, you allow the Holy Spirit to make the cuts. You allow the Holy Spirit to just culture in your life. Making that separation and making it effectively. Whew, that's what I loved about seeing that. Because it wasn't just that he's pruning. It's that he's pruning you effectively for what he has for you next. He is pruning you in a way that allows for growth to happen in your life. He is pruning you exactly in the order that he needs to prune you. So trust in him. Go after him. Abide in the vine. Abide in him. Allow for him to be what grows you, what makes you better, what makes you stronger, what makes you all of what he planned for you to be. Because this, sorry, Abe, I'm skipping back. Can we go back to Micah? I want to read this again now that we've gone through some of this other stuff, because now you understand some of these things in here. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. Guys, he wants to teach you his ways so you can walk in them. Don't let him give you a word and you just lose it. How many know the parable of the sower? Some getting tossed to the side, just forgotten or eaten by the birds, right? Don't let that happen. This is also a big reason why I wanted you to take notes, because go after God for the things that you don't understand. When you're going through the word and you go, huh, that didn't make sense. Say, God, what does this mean? When you go to church and you're hearing the word preached to you and you say, huh, that seems really weird. That seems odd. Go to God and ask him, what does this mean? Because the relationship that you are building is so important. Because it doesn't matter how many times
times I speak something to you. What matters is the revelation taking place within your life. That's what matters. The effectiveness of the pruning is so important. Because now it's not people telling you what you got to do. You're going after God for direction in your life and allowing him to pour into you all the things that he has for you. It's effective pruning. It's not just, let me cut some things off here. He's cutting off exactly what he needs to for you to keep going. Keep walking, just like this says. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Guys, as he begins to place things within your life, you become effective to the people around you. This is the rising up of the church. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That happens because God takes you from on the defensive constantly to having growth in your life that now allows you to grow those around you. Because now, instead of being hurt by every little thing that's happening, you're turning to God. Now, instead of being worried about where politics is going and where everything else is going, you're turning to God. Let me tell you something. If you're worried about gas prices and where things are going right now, you are focused on the wrong thing. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Because the Father has you in his hands. He tells you that he clothes the fields and he feeds the birds. So what are you worried about? Because if you think that gas is expensive, he will provide for you. If you think that things are getting too crazy, he will provide for you. But let me tell you something. This is just going to continue to move more into what God prepared us for in Revelation. And let me tell you, if you are so busy focused on who is running this country and what is happening, you are missing who you are meant to be in this country. Come on. You are meant for change. You are meant to be effective. You are meant to show a reflection of the Father who is our Savior. You are meant to be what they are not. Come on. This is who you are. You are meant for greatness. You are royalty in the kingdom. You are sons and daughters of a king. And he's telling us here, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Can I tell you that there's going to be a nation that's going to war? But we will understand that we have a God who fights those wars for us, which is why it says, neither shall they learn war anymore. Because where the whole world is fighting, because of the God within you, you are going to stand apart and you are going to be loving. Where people are criticizing, where people are saying, this is what has to happen. You are going to be the person who's loving on them. You're going to be the one who shows them something different. You are meant to stand apart. As you go further and further into what God has for you, let me tell you, you will not look like this world. You won't. Where everybody is spreading hatred, you will be spreading love. Where everybody is acting like
children and babies, you will be mature and weaned because he is preparing you for what's to come. He is teaching you how to move into what's going to be happening in this world. He's teaching you how to fight. He's teaching you how to handle it, which is to fight with him. I'm focusing on you. You're the one who's fighting the battle. I'm being still. I'm just going after you. You tell me to move this way, I move this way, which will be important. The Bible tells us to not be caught sleeping. Don't wait. Don't say, I can read it tomorrow. I can go after you another day. I can figure it out another time. No, don't be caught sleeping. Go after him. Abide in him. Because the Bible actually tells you that as you abide in him, he'll give you confidence in the days to come. Because when a world does turn to turmoil, you will be at peace. But everyone shall sit under his vine, under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. See, you're going to be abiding in him, and regardless of what happens, you're not going to be shaken. You will not be afraid, because you will know that you are being provided for. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken, for all people walk each in the name of, walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This scripture is talking about who we're meant to be. All of these characteristics that we talked about before, they are meant, it's what you are meant to reflect. It really is. And as you abide in him, those things come forth. You produce the fruits. And can I tell you, it's not as difficult as you think. We like to make it real difficult for ourselves. Okay, I am really bad at discipline. So I got to learn discipline tomorrow. How many of you know that habits have some change that need to be changed? Like it takes some time, right? But that's the thing. Is he will show you how to change them. It's why if you have a problem that is so detrimental in your life, that should take you, let's say, several times of going through like a rehab or something, that he can change in a second. That's right. Because if you go after him, he will supply everything that you need. Even if that means taking something away. Okay, this is a problem that I know you will not be able to focus on me for, so there you go. I've dealt with it. Now walk in me. But that's the point. You must abide in him. Because if you step out and you're focusing on those problems, where are you going to go to? You need to abide in him. Allow him to do these things for you. Let's go to 1 John 2:24. It says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, and you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Is that all I had? Yeah. Okay. I think, hold on. Let me see. What's 20? Can you show me 25? And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Okay, let's read that again. Can we go back? Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. His desire is for us to change. His desire is that we become more like him. His desire is that we reflect Him. He created us. Let's go. Can we go to Galatians 5, 16 through 26? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, wait. Sorry, I think I gave you the wrong part. Sorry, 22 through 26 is what it's supposed to be. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Guys, we are meant to walk differently. This right here gives us the fruits of the Spirit, the things that we are meant to reflect in our life. We are meant to be bearing lots of fruits of love, lots of fruits of kindness, lots of fruits of long-suffering. That's the thing. These things, as we bear these fruits, we become such a shining reflection of who He is. It makes a change within our life that then allows us to become what we talked about in Micah. It allows us to become the church that people flow to. And can I tell you that that doesn't necessarily just mean this church. It's the church. It's the whole body. You know that as we all begin to walk in these fruits and we all begin to go after God, we become unified through Him. We really do. We now go from being individuals who have all of these different thoughts and all these different opinions to being Christ-like, going after Him, being perfected, allowing Him to build our relationships, allowing Him to unite us, because now we're walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we begin to see the people around us that are walking in the Spirit, and we begin to now work together. Because we're all seeing the same vision and the same thing that he desires for us to get to. Zion, do you know that if you look, because of my whole dictionary diving thing, I found out that Zion in Arabic, Greek, Hebrew, I think I looked at like four or five of them. As I went through all of them, they all mean the same thing. Which a lot of times is translated to utopia, but with a semicolon that says heaven. That verse in Micah is talking about heaven on earth. It is. It's talking about the church being placed on a hill. It's because the Bible talks about shining bright like the city set on a hill. It talks about shining bright because of who He is within you. And that Micah is talking about as the church begins to rise up and the bridegroom begins to, I got chills even talking about it. Because as we become who we are supposed to be in Him, there begins to be a rising up that happens in the church where we're not just people sitting in a church anymore. We're people healing people's lives. We're people breaking bondages because God is the one who's directing us. He's the one who's leading us. He's the one who's guiding us. And now we've gone from just being to being effective in Him.
And all because your focus goes to him. All this stuff happens. Everything I talked about happens by the word being spoken in your life and the Holy Spirit going, let me be the discerner in your life. You don't need this. You need that. I want to grow this. I don't want to grow that. And he begins to just shape you into exactly who you were created to be. Which then, Zion, it's the kingdom on earth. It's all the things that he showed us in the Bible that we are also meant to do. Because we, with our fruits, are meant to glorify him. It's a reflection of him. It's not about us. It's actually us allowing him to teach us to make it all about him. That's right. Hallelujah. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. Allow your swords to become plowshares. Allow him to just take you from where you're at to everything he desires for you to have. Allow him to pour into you. Allow him to speak to you. And when you feel like you're not hearing, abide in him. Because I guarantee you, you will hear. There is a song that I have been loving so much, and it's called Abide. And it talks about, teach me to abide in you so that I can hear your voice all around. Because the truth is every single day, if you allowed him to guide you, you begin to see how you work the mission field he's placed you in. You'll begin to see blessing in your life. You'll begin to see that the things you worried about before, you don't got to worry about anymore. Because he will provide all things for you. So allow for him to grow those branches for you. Just abide in him. He is the vine, you are the branches, and God is the vine dresser. Man, right there he tells you, I'm ready. I'm ready with my pruning shears to give you everything that I have for you. If we will allow ourselves to abide in him. If you want to stand, we're going to go back into this song. And then that's all I had. So you'll be dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.